And sometimes you can just stare into people's souls and act like you can actually see what's inside of them. It's like when I look into your eyes, I see eyes.
That's how I like to have conversations, like just really lock in on the eyes, read the soul.
Got to start it out right on Halloween, right? Have to have that dead glare. Ooh,
spooky.
Once again, another episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour is in full swing. Another great guest is joining us today as we get to talk about her respective journey with the team. Kate and I will have our usual banter. And with this spooky episode, in a sense, we probably should have had a pumpkin or something around instead of the Lucky Puck. But with this spooky episode, we'll have a great topical discussion during our off-topic segment. Welcome everyone watching or listening around the world. Happy Halloween to you as well. Spencer Thompson joined alongside Kate Aitchison, and our guest today is Samantha Lance. Now, Kate, first and foremost, we got a lot of people who are now wanting to be guests on the podcast. Yes, we have a lot of people who are interested in such. And from the conversations that we've had with Samantha behind the scenes and through this is probably going to be one of the more rambunctious episodes that we have.
And any viewers know me and Spencer love to get rambunctious anytime we can. So, no, it's going to be great.
No, this will be fun. So, Samantha Lance joins us, freshman center for the team and for the Alabama women's hockey team. And very excited to have you here. We appreciate you taking the time. The freshman hailing from, is it Lothian? Okay, good. Okay. Sometimes I'm good in the pronunciation stuff. Case in point, Aitchison or Aitchison.
Always. But, you know, can't let it go.
Yeah, so I'm sometimes good on this stuff. Once I'm given the right pronunciation, then
never
I'm good.
Never forget.
But let's just get right into it, Samantha. This is certainly their... are a lot of it. I was talking with Kira about this, and the same kind of formula we do for talking to our guests, in that any journey you talk to somebody about, especially in the hockey side and in a school where ice hockey is not really known that much, you could talk to any of the players on the team, and I guarantee that each one would have different tidbits and different elements to how they've gotten to where they are. So what has the journey been like for Samantha Lance from the moment you knew what you wanted to do heading into college to now just being a dominant force on the ice for the Frozen Tide?
So my decision for college was that I wanted to go NCAA somewhere in New England.
Okay.
And I actually had gotten offers and was fully, I was like, all right, got to seal the deal.
Yeah.
And I talked to an academic advisor. And she said, go to a school that's exactly the opposite so that you hate it. So when you know you don't like the opposite, you're making the right choice. And I was like, what's a small school in New England, kind of quiet, hockey, stuff like that. And I was like, Alabama.
Exact opposite.
My mom and I came down, toured Alabama. We pulled up and I was like, I'm not going to like it.
No.
Not for me. And got here and I loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I was looking for things to dislike, and I had my cheeks hurt from smiling the whole time I was there.
I love it. So, what things specifically did you like about it? And you said you looked for anything. What things were you looking for, expecting to dislike?
My high school is 300 kids.
Okay.
So I was like,
understood.
I don't want all of these people.
Yeah.
I really expected to dislike it. Like, it's too much. Mm-hmm. Feeling like it would be really overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I got here and just... the Southern hospitality is so real.
Oh, yeah. So real.
And just everything, it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it's, Tuscaloosa is a city, but it doesn't feel stacked up. It feels spread out, the quad, there's trees everywhere.
I remember when I first toured Alabama during when I visited campuses for my doctoral programs, and it's still to me, even with visiting other university campuses, it still feels like a college campus.
Yeah,
it's very rare that I found I visited the land of the orange.
Yes.
And it's hilly. It's got some okay spots, and it's, I will say, they do have the river on us with the river in the backdrop of the stadium, but it's just, Alabama just feels like it's a college campus, especially the quad is so unique and competitive.
I agree, and I didn't realize, I don't think I realized how truly collegey it was, because I had a similar experience of I was committed to another school, I was going to another school, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I was committed to another school for pre-med was what I was doing. And so full different thing. And for me, it wasn't look at something you hate. It was me looking at my life at a different school and looking for something opposite, because I was like, Kate, this isn't it. So what else is totally different that I've never done before? And I think a lot of people end up here where it's like, what is this place? It is the college town of America, like the college town. And you come and everyone remembers their first time. My first time was literally Bama Ben. I didn't visit before whatsoever. I committed without knowing. And same thing. I remember driving up and just like little baby 18-year-old Kate, I was jaw aghast. I was just looking around like, what is this place? The quad is crazy. The buildings look like college buildings. It is so college. That's all freshman year. That's what we all say. So college.
Yeah. Now I do have to ask, how many people were in your high school when you graduated?
My high school is huge. My graduating class was 1,100.
Okay. You said 300 total. How many were in your senior graduating class?
80, including
graduates. Crazy.
I have a uniqueness on both of you, because when I graduated, my high school was only about 120 Jeez. Students. Our senior class, believe it or not, was at, I think, 26. We were the largest at the time for our high school, and it's since increased, and they've added K through 12. And at the time, it was only 5th through 12th grade, so the entire school was that size. But yeah,
that's unreal.
And that's the one thing I also hold. I was the first male student to complete 5th through 12th grade. I was a part of the first 5th grade that they offered and such.
That makes so much sense for you, that small class.
I don't know if I like the way she said that.
That makes so much sense for me.
But yes, I have that, and that small school environment is a lot more intimate as well, because you actually, I know at least in my high school, they focused on the ratio of, I think it was one teacher to every about 10 students, something like that. It may have been less, actually, maybe like every one in five or something along those lines.
I was one to like 45.
We had like one to six. My biggest class had 12 students in it.
You guys, this is blowing my mind. This is blowing my mind, because I'm also from I've heard a lot of people that come from small schools, private schools, whatever it is, and their mind is blown. I'm like, you guys, like, even in elementary school, when the cap was legally like 30 kids, we still had 36. I'm from Utah, granted, so there's a lot of kids. But no, my, like, every single class in high school, there was at least 30 kids, if not more, different kids in every single class. And my cousin, who went to a small school, she would be shocked. She was like, do you walk past people in the hallway that you don't know? And I'm like, you meet someone new every day. It's like a college campus. And so I came here, and these big lectures and everything, it was just high school at another level. I can't imagine coming from that high school to a whole different ball game.
It's a big difference. Like, I text some of my high school teachers to this day. Like, I call them first name.
That's
like,
crazy.
How are you doing? Like, send them the updates. And like, I would go stay at their houses because I went to a boarding school. Wow. They all lived there.
Okay.
Okay. It's a boarding school.
They tuck me in every night. Like,
that's crazy.
Had a great day.
Every
night of high school.
That's why you're such a sweetheart. Like, genuine, they just radiate positivity on and off ice.
Yeah, I was not on the boarding school side of things, so it wasn't that level of intimacy, but there's still some high school teachers that I talk with here and there. In that regard, and she went ahead a little bit on this with talking about stuff. So, I was talking about in our introduction to you about how you're dominant on the ice. And I think I know why. Because you're a double major on pre-med and psychology. So I like my new call I'm going to use for you. I don't know how I'm going to fit this into a broadcast, but I'm going to do it at some point. Precision and manipulation. I think I'm going to use that at some point because with pre-med, you got the precision on there, and it's just so great seeing you on the ice in that regard. But what led you to have this sort of double major and choose both of those paths?
So I was kind of really lucky as a high schooler because I knew exactly what I wanted to do.
Okay.
Like, good.
It's something my whole life, like, my siblings talk about, and they're like, that's not fair. That's not fair, is that I know exactly what I want, which helps a lot. But I knew, I was like, I want to do psychology, and I want to work with either children or PTSD patients through the VA. And do that, you need to be, like, a psychiatrist or, like, a therapist, and you have to get a medical degree to do that.
Yeah.
But if you want to be able to like focus in more after you get to like med school, it helps to have like your degree be in what you want to focus in. So rather than doing like a biology one, doing psychology, so I can still like, oh, I really love this, I can focus in on this, but also still like go on.
That's incredible. Tell me about your plan. Tell me about, so you have these 4 years double major, which I would presume is somewhat difficult. I can't imagine you're not busy. And so go through that and then med school and then what next? What specialty and where next?
Yeah, so take it day by day.
Well, absolutely.
Do the next best thing you can.
No, for sure.
Med school, and then the VA really needs people, and that's what I really enjoy, or like that's what I really want to do. That's, I want to help those people. They like serve our country, and they're really underserved. So as of right now, they're in really high demand. So I feel like I could go right there, but also just that's a little bit in the future.
Yeah,
so
play
I'm
by
not
ear.
Trying to change.
Okay, absolutely. Was
right now that's my plan.
Yeah, was there something in your life that brought you specifically to want to work with the VA and stuff?
It started as psychology and like really wanting to work with pediatrics kind of, because I personally have like ADHD.
Yeah.
And I didn't find out until I was 16.
Yeah,
so
I was exact like, same timeline
yeah,
for me.
And that's like normal for girls. Yeah. I was like, that's not right. I feel like I should have known so much younger. So I was like, I want to work with that and like finding out like how can I better support people who went through what I went through. And
absolutely.
Then, growing up, like I had a neighbor who was a Marine, and just like my family's been in the Navy, and just like my parents were like, oh, like very like kept me involved and knowing about. I grew up near the U.S. Naval Academy too, so it's like right there. And so I was like, wow, I like really love these people and they're in my life. And so, what can I do to like give back?
That's incredible. Yeah,
but
that's incredible. I love it, and I love the side of pediatrics that you were talking about, because it is, for those of you that don't know, it's one of the hardest areas of medicine because children's health is so understudied, and so looking for the signs and tracking them is hard, and especially also in women's children's health. And so ADHD is the perfect example of one of the newer things that they just barely figured out how to track in women and then just in children correctly. And so I love where your head's at.
Yeah, there's a lot of directions I want to go in off of that,
so
but I'll say you know, first and foremost, deciding to work specifically with the VA. I mean, I've detailed this before. My dad serving at Green Beret combat medic for 24 years, and he fortunately does not have a huge level of PTSD to where he's having to go to the VA and get constant treatments. But but you still see a lot of these veterans who are struggling and trying to find their way back after the service and everything. So kudos to you on going down that path. And you and I are also similar in that in high school we found out what our goals were going to be like between junior senior year. I found it out. Are you the youngest of the siblings?
I am.
Okay.
I'm three older.
Okay, so I'm youngest of four as well. So I'm sure Austin was jealous. I'm sure he was upset once you found everything out, right?
Yeah. He's taking his time, but he just figured out his path, so I'm really happy for him. But my oldest sister, she's like 31, and she was out of college before I ever like basically got into high school.
Yeah.
It was like my sophomore, junior year. I was like, yep, I'm doing that. That's what I want. She goes, you don't do that. That's not how this works.
That's not how it goes.
Yeah, so you have a wider gap between your siblings then.
Yeah.
So, because I've got my brother just turned 31. He's going to kill me for not knowing this off the top of my head. But each of us were, he was born 93. So, yeah, he's 31 this year. Yeah, so it's 31, 29, 27, 25.
Yeah, so there's 12 years between the girls. So
wow.
My older sister is 31, and then my other sister just turned 25 in August. My brother turned 21 next month, and I'm 19. So
that's a little bit of a generational gap in there, but I'm sure you guys keep each other in check with the updated lingo and all those things. So
that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, that's great. So let's shift over to the hockey side because it certainly, especially starting out your freshman year, you're trying to figure things out and figure out where where your place is on the team and where your role is going to fit. And for you, it doesn't seem like that was really an issue, because not only an honor in week two for College Hockey South as their star of the week, but the entire month of September being honored on that list.
Yes,
so what did that mean to you when you were told that you're getting these honors, both from the week standpoint and the month standpoint?
Yeah, I called my mom so fast.
Oh, that's great.
Oh my God. It's so surreal. I feel so lucky every time I'm like down here on the ice or just like with the team, because I really didn't have that hard of a transition into the team. Just everyone is, we have such a good team, and we have such a good like established like chemistry and how to act together, or not how to act together, but like just like what's accepted.
Yes.
It's like being nice, being accepting, it's supporting what we are. So I know I have a bit of a big personality. I can be a little loud, and that wasn't at all a problem for them. It was encouraged. They were so excited to have us here, and I know all the other freshmen feel that too. But like having coaches and teammates who are just like, yes, like do that, you like that, do that. Like I have some weird little niches, I guess, on the ice and stuff that they just could not be more supportive of. It made it so easy to step right in.
Awesome.
I feel like no one's had a hard time adjusting.
True. That's fantastic. No, I can't help but bring it up every single episode on how you can see the pure joy, friendship, and kindness radiating off the ice. And it comes from the players. It comes from the coaching staff. It comes from everybody behind the scenes. It comes from everybody. There is just a pure like love that comes, and it shows how you guys play together. And so when you can see through when somebody gets off instead of everybody choking, they work together type thing. And it's so, and I think that's how you guys have been able to be so good so quickly. Do you think, you're just talking about how it's all like encouraged and love and all of these things. Do you think that just comes from the genuine goodness of the girls? Do you think I'm sure it's a little bit of everything, but the goodness of the girls, the newness of the program that you guys are building together, like what do you think goes into that culture?
I think it's that everyone really loves hockey and like loves what we're doing. And if you love something, you have to put work in.
Yeah.
It's not just like, you can't just like, oh, I love it, it's great. Like you have to put so much work in. So it's not all sunshine and rainbows. We definitely have had like harder games, just like harder moments. And it's that the person next to you is ready to pick you up.
Mm-hmm.
It's that like, we all know that, I think it's that everyone's really empathetic and everyone understands what's happening. And it's like, this is the first year. This isn't going to be perfect. This isn't going to be the most glamorous thing ever, but we can get there. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, no, like, you're going to have a bad day and I'm going to be here for you.
That's
like,
incredible.
You're going to mess up and it's going to be okay. Like it happens. And it's that everyone is just so understanding and just so much love that they're like, we're going to put in the work to make this what we want.
What true teammates, true girlhood, all the things. Yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm.
And part of that as well, now there's certainly a lot of love on the team, but I'm interested if there are any friendly competitions. The reason I ask that is because your freshman counterpart in Claire Carson, but incredible to see on the ice too, and she's gotten her honors as well that was on that same list in week two and for September. But I was talking about this in your last series against Auburn. You and Claire are going back and forth on the team leader in goals, assists, and points, just going back. Is there any sort of friendly competition for which one's going to be at the end for that? Nothing like that? Good.
Our competition is really, we had a joke, College Hockey South constantly writes about us saying our dynamic duo. And so when we get put on the same line, we go, dynamic duo.
Is there any nickname for that duo that we don't know about?
No, it's just the dynamic duo.
It's the dynamic duo.
Well, that works.
There might be one at some point, but not right now.
I love it.
But it's just getting like, we get on and our competition is not against each other, but more against like, what can we do? Like between the two of us, we want a hat trick.
Yeah.
So between the two of us, we want three goals.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Like, what can we do together?
If one of us has a goal, we want to get the other one a goal.
Yeah.
Like it's not as much a competition against each other as it is against like ourselves.
The stats almost.
Yeah, the stats.
I think, and I like, that almost plays into, well, I can't even remember who mentioned it, but in one of the other weeks where they're talking about how, like, when something's going, oh, I think it was, Daphne. Anyway.
Yeah, Kira.
Anyway, anywho, but just like when there's like a certain amount of goals, there's a certain amount of thing, like getting everyone to touch the puck, getting everyone the opportunity and stuff. I think that just like that competition, not between each other, but between the stats, like what can we do as a team? And I think like between the two of you, that is probably why you guys are so fantastic. Just every like stupid things every game. I love to watch it.
No, it's great. But I do know there is at least one, not, you can't call it a competition. There is a wager that you placed on this season. And we were talking about it beforehand. I just want to make sure I hear about the origin story and how that came to fruition and where we are now on friendly wager you have with one of your coaches.
So when I was younger, I begged and begged and begged my parents for a dog, and they said no. Mm-hmm. Or no.
Hard no.
Oh, that's sad.
No. So I got to be in middle school, and I was at a tournament, and I was playing on two teams in the same tournament, which I don't recommend.
She's always doubling up on herself.
Oh,
jeez.
Yeah.
It worked out in my favor because my mom made a deal with me. She goes, if you get two hat tricks throughout, like, if you score six goals in this whole tournament, we can go, like, rescue a dog. You can get a puppy. And I think she forgot for a moment, I will take you up on that bet. And so I looked and I said,
Deal. Shake on it.
That was a really hard thing to do, but I got on the ice in the first game, and I got a hat trick. And so we got back, and I stared her down. She's like, oh my god. And then so the rest of the games are going, and I'm telling one of my teams, because I was guest playing, I'd never played with any of these mm-hmm. girls before, and that's what I love about the hockey community is like mm-hmm. you'll never find, like, girls and boys, like, you'll never find people who are more willing to, like, help you, support you, take you
mm-hmm.
in. So I tell them, I go, guys, like, I made a deal with my mom, if I score three more goals, I get a puppy. And so for the rest of the tournament, every time I scored, every girl on the bench and every parent in the stadium, puppy. And my poor
that's
mom
fantastic.
Is just sitting there like, what?
No, just hands, just like mistakes. That's so funny.
So his name's Braxton Stanley.
Oh,
that's great. You almost fell over on your chair. She loved that name so much.
Yeah, he's a tiny little white. He's not crusty, I promise. He's not crusty. He is a schnauzer. He's a little.
Oh, white. Yeah, good schnauzer.
He came to our games in South Carolina.
Stop.
Yeah,
cute.
Yeah, yeah.
And
stop.
I have two more dogs now that are bloodhounds.
Oh, I love hounds. I love dogs. Mm-hmm. I have to plug my dog Aurora. Shout out. My Doberman. Love her.
Yeah.
No, that's so.
Yeah.
I love that. My mom was too smart to ever promise something like that.
Whiskey, Lucy, and Braxton. I love you all.
I know. Literally plug them.
But yeah, and so I was telling them about that at one of our like earlier practices, and I was like, yeah, hat trick, and I get another dog. Like, I'm trying to convince my parents that it wasn't going to happen. And Ani goes, I've been thinking about getting an animal. Like, seriously thinking about it. So like, I'll make a deal with you. If you get a hat trick in our first game,
oh my god,
I will like rescue a dog. And I was like, are you sure? She's like, yeah.
She's like, Matt, I'm hearing it again. Let's run it back.
So Anya shook my hand on it. And so it was like, okay, so if I do this by the end of the season, you have to go rescue a dog.
Yeah.
She also picked a terrible game to make this bet with me. It was my first game in college. It was on my birthday.
It was
the first game for Alabama women's hockey.
Had to.
Yep.
And I was like, I picked a bad day.
she's picked a bad
day. So I got two goals really early in the game, and every time I came off, you could just see her look at me like, what have I done?
And oh, that's funny.
In the third period, I came off, I had a little bit of orange juice, and got back on the ice and scored. And there's actually a picture from the exact moment after my goal. I come up to the bench and I look at her and I'm just,
I know exactly the picture. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
So Anya's getting her puppy soon.
That's probably going to be the team mascot then.
Oh,
we got to put
absolutely.
Like a little, but I don't know if they make like, I know they make outfits for dogs, but I'm sure there's got to be one with Crimson Tide logo on it. There's got to be one with Sanskrit.
There are many.
Or like that.
There are many.
Yeah, so I think we know what the mascot is going to be now for the
absolutely.
Team. I don't know if the dog's going to be on the bench like during the game, but we can probably.
We got to get it.
To name the dog.
Oh!
I
can you reveal any names?
Do we have anything we're thinking?
I have to meet.
That's fair.
Yeah,
do you think it's going to be hockey themed or something?
There's a good chance.
There's a good chance. I'm yeah. so excited to hear the name.
I can't wait.
I have a feeling it's going to relate it in some capacity to your obsession with orange juice or Frozen. Yeah. I would not be surprised if the dog is Olaf or you have OJ as the dog's name or something
about,
like that.
I love Frozen.
Yeah, and that's perfect because what I was going to talk about next is that, especially in sport with athletes, there's superstition. And I've talked with the coaches about it. They have it, like Coach Davis and Coach Laxton. I think Britton and Nick have theirs because they actually play on the ice such. But there's not really any coaching superstitions they've started yet or like rituals or things they have to do. But we talked about this on Media Day, and I mentioned it several times on air. Like whenever you're going on a tear with scoring goals, I've been like, well, this is why she doesn't retape her stick. This is why she's drinking orange juice, and you could tell that she just, any of the stresses, she let it go. And then she didn't have any issues.
Funny.
So where did those superstitions start?
So the no taping my stick one came from, it's like the top of my stick specifically, and it was, I used to wear two different colored gloves.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, they were worn out, they were there's nothing in the palms, and I thought it gave me a better grip. So I was like, I'm not gonna retape it and get like slippery.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So it's just really beat up and I don't tape it.
I love it.
So I'm just like, it's good.
It's fine. Don't worry about
it's
it.
It's fine.
And then the let it go is, I messed that up last weekend, but it's so I don't get penalties. It's like, love Frozen. I love the new one. Oh, I don't even know Samantha. It's my favorite joke with my siblings. but now it's, I get on the ice and I listen to it before and it's just like, I know I get a target on my back occasionally.
Oh, I don't get penalties is my favorite answer
yeah.
ever.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
That's like not where I thought it was going at all, and I love it.
They're gonna come after me, or like I'm gonna get frustrated, but just let it go.
Just let it go. Just let it go.
I'm doing what I love. I'm having fun, so let it go.
I love it.
Yeah.
I guess you use that for the cold never bothered me anyway. Do you use that one too on the ice?
That was bigger in boarding school. It was a lot cooler there. We had an open air rink, so we had a roof with no walls.
Oh my god.
Oh man.
Jeez.
I remember there was a game we had to have a safety debrief on how not to get frostbite while we played.
Jeez.
And so
I'm Canadian, so I've had some of those, but like I skated for a minute, but like, oh my god.
Yeah, so in between periods we'd have to go take our undershirt off and change it, and then untie our skates and put on dry socks.
Uh-huh.
Oh goodness.
And then, it's so bad. So I hate thinking about it. We have to take like Vaseline, like big chunks of it, and
hands
and everything. It's just like under your
ew. I was gonna say I've done Vaseline on like cheeks and hands when I snowboard, but like that cannot be comfortable.
Yeah.
It's the worst feeling.
What about the orange juice?
The orange juice. Oh, I love it so much.
Clearly.
I have some with me.
Yeah, the jars are. Annie, can we get the orange juice bottle?
Producer Annie,
we don't have the lucky puck, so I should have thought about this before.
This
is going to be front and center. There's the OJ. Tropicana, not a sponsor, although we wish they were.
I know. Maybe I should have the logo because of that. Lucky orange
juice. Sponsor me so much.
Oh yeah, we could probably make that happen. Or somebody could, but.
The orange juice started when I was in high school, and I went to a boarding school, and so on game days, it was like a really big deal that we all had breakfast together. So we would wake up early every game day, go to our dining hall, and eat breakfast together
cute.
As a team. Just like start off the day right, make sure we're all getting like filled, and I hated waking up early.
Really? Yeah. Me too.
So I dragged myself to the dining hall and be like, I need something like to wake me up.
Yeah.
So orange juice was what we always had in the juice machine.
Oh,
they never switched it. They always refilled it. It was always there. So I had orange juice every single day that. And so I got here and I was like, there's not a juice machine. So I was like, guys, we have to run to the store. And they're like, why? Like, we're going to get. I was like, can you please stop us? And so I got my orange juice. I come back out and they all think I'm kidding. They're like, are you for real? I was
like that's what you needed.
So I'm sitting in the locker room just like sipping on my juice. And they go, what? Do you like take that on the bench too? And I was like, no, like I really don't. And they're just like, you definitely do. And I was like, haha, I definitely do. And so now it's on the bench. Every single game is on the bench. And if you actually ever sit on our bench, or if you like kind of look at me during the game, close to the second or the third period, I'll be like, I'm tired, or like something's not working. I'll be like, juice me. Every single coach, like Tebby, Nick, Anya, Kevin, even the photographers, and like Ellen, who stands on our bench, they all go, "Where's the juice? Juicer!" Like, are frantically looking.
Like, knees, like, juice! That's so funny!
Yeah, they're all, like, frantically looking for my juice, and they give it to me, and I, mid-game, out of this bottle, not in anything else, just straight from the bottle, take my juice, go out, and then the next shift, I do something really cool, so I'm like, okay, this works.
The juice juiced.
Yeah, and it's funny, we did our second media day recently, and I brought my juice out, and I think it's like a team joke now, but it's not a joke. It's all very serious. Like, I have my juice.
So, oh, that's funny.
Pictures get released. You're going to see a lot of people with a lot of juice.
I love
it. And it has to specifically be Tropicana, right? Yeah, like, you will have a fit if it goes to Simply or Minute Maid or any of those other brands.
Yeah. So much respect for them. I think all orange juice is great, but I really...
You can tell she's wanting a sponsorship sooner or later.
I really do love Tropicana so much. I think I feel like if I did a blind taste test of, like, you know how people, like, blind taste test different sodas?
Someone get Mia on the horn. This is a social media thing waiting to happen. No, like, we need to get three different cups and have Sammy taste the different ones and see which one is which.
Yeah, I believe you.
Yeah, we need to have that happen at some point. Seriously, Mia, I know you listen to the podcast or you watch it on YouTube. That needs to happen next time we're at one of the arenas. You mentioned this a little bit with talking about the positive energy that's around the team, with not just players but coaching staff and coaches and such, and we talk with each of the players about their kind of behind the scenes and what they experience on things that aren't seen in front of the camera or not seen on the broadcast, or some of the stuff that may not even necessarily come up in just casual conversation. But I love the amount of laughter that is shared anytime you're saying or doing things on the bus. Like in South Carolina to and from, there were so many times where you just have people just looking over, you say something and everyone just erupts into laughter in that regard. Would you say that you are the team clown or like class clown equivalent, or is there someone else you think has a funnier sense of humor?
Claire Carson is hysterical. Okay.
Sounds like we might need to get her on the podcast.
Yeah, get Claire here. But I think I have a lot of moments that people just kind of expect it at this point. So it's like I was talking to Megan Jackson the other day. She's, I just wait for you to say something funny. So you open your mouth and I just wait a second. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Now, who is the best dressed on the team? Who has the best fit checks?
Rory or Kate?
Oh,
actually, Morgan also is up there too.
Okay. So all kind of three. Tied up those on are some good answers.
But Anya comes to every game.
Anya, every single thing she wears. Yeah.
Well, she was talking about that when she was a player in one of her podcast interviews, that it was between her and I think her goaltender at Worcester State, and how they were kind of up there on the close fit checks and everything. So she's transcended that through the coaching side.
I know, in high school we had to dress up for game days, and I was like somewhere.
Yeah, right.
There were better days than others.
I love it.
But I think I'm slacking. But I definitely. Rory or Kate every game, damn. Just like, you've done it again.
I love it.
There's something about Kate's that just has good with Kate. Fit checks, though. I was going to say, if you need pointers or anything, you talk to her.
I was going to say, I'm the biggest fashion lover ever, and so as you're listing off these people, and I follow them on social media and see them on game days, I'm like, check, check, check. No, me and Anya bonded quite a few times in our love of vintage fashion and fashion and things, so I would love to dress the team. Please let me be the fashion designer or something. I'll dress all of y'all.
Yeah, we were saying something to Mia last week about how there's everybody running around in heels at the games.
Yes.
Like, maybe we need to get Samantha in on that TikTok, whatever it is, and everyone like rushing through.
I think we should do game day shoes or something like that, and we should have the players, this is for Mia, I'm just actually just talking to Mia right now, have the players skate past their skates or like walk past the skates or something, and then have us sprint after them in our heels, because we all wear little high stilettos on game day, and we sprint around, and like I'm doing the camera falling off my box. Anyway, No, I love it. We love all of the fits and all sides giving, of the team.
Now, as we're recording this episode, unfortunately, the social media account got taken down on Instagram, which is horrible. But I'm sure TikTok is going to be vibrant with ideas off of this. I'm sure maybe we can post some of these on X or share them on Facebook
or
something like that.
We're just doing their job.
You can just film. Maybe they don't even make it to the main Instagram or something. They're just there for the memory side of things. That would be pretty fun in that regard. What would you say is your favorite memory thus far on the year?
First game, we get off the ice, or like we win, and it was a great game. It was my birthday. It was Emily Scott's birthday.
It was an incredible game.
Anya has to get a puppy. We play our first game as a team in these uniforms, and so everyone who was here last year is just like through the moon all day. It's a great day for me. I was like, I did really cool with the mom watch. My dad's so romantic.
I love it.
And then at the end of every game that we win, we turn on Dixieland Delight.
Yes.
Yep.
And we all go and we sing our
my favorite.
And we do-si-do. And that's me, like the first time we did that, I was like over the moon.
Oh.
Like I took a second, and my mom was like, "Why did you do that?" But I skated out to like one of the far circles, and I like stopped for a second. I looked, and I like have like it perfectly in my brain still. Like I watched it for like a good minute and a half, just being.
That's incredible.
This is one of the best moments. Like I know it's the first game, but I was like, "This is like this is so
set the standard."
That's incredible. No, I love it, and I mean, you can see it off the ice. I want you to know that I was also up there when that was going on, just dancing and singing. The energy was vibrant, and I watched you do that, and I didn't wonder why you did it because you had an incredible game, and I was like, "This young girl just made a name for herself on this team," and I love to see it.
Oh yeah. Now, this is Halloween when this episode is publishing, so we always try to have some sort of off topic. We talked about favorite holiday films last week and talked about its Halloween spirit and such, but now that we are actually on October 31st with this publishing, what is your favorite Halloween costume that you have ever done growing up? And start with Samantha.
Oh, I've had a lot of really good ones. I think I did Hannah Montana.
Oh, I love it.
And I was still really little, so I was still really blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the attitude for it.
I love it.
I was really great Hannah Montana.
I can see it. I can picture it.
That was a really good one. Or,
was it with a microphone and like, did you have full out on all that stuff? Okay.
Oh yeah. I'm sure the performances were incredible.
Oh yeah.
I love it.
Or in high school, this was really fun. We were building a new building. And it was like this million-dollar building they were building. It was called the Davis Center. And my freshman year, it wasn't finished. And so I was sitting in math class one day, and I look out, and I was like, smoke, who's having a bonfire
on
campus at 11 a.m.? Our new building caught on fire.
Oh.
And luckily, it was really small and everything, but it caught on fire. And so it was like a big deal. We're like, oh, my God. It didn't set anything back. It was fine.
Yeah. But it's a big deal. And
So we would do dorm Halloween costumes. And so my dorm, one of our like senior leaders, or like she's like our RA, but like our senior who's like we elected to be like the best, was a ginger, like a bright red ginger. So for Halloween, we spiked her hair up and we put her in a box. It said like the Davis.
I love that.
All of like everyone else, we went as Dalmatians and firefighters. And
that is so funny.
We won our school competition.
Yeah, that's funny.
Who had the best costume? But we had our like building on fire, and we were all.
That's beautiful. Yeah. That's incredible.
That's one of my favorites, just because I think it's all that.
My costumes have never been as creative as that, but that is pretty good.
That was really good.
What's yours?
I actually thought that. Excuse me. One sec.
We need cough buttons on these things.
I know, literally. Excuse me. Anywho, that was a perfect lead-in because my costume that I thought of beforehand was also when I was a kid. Funny you said Hannah Montana because it was actually like technically a Hannah Montana dress. It was sparkly. But what I was I told my mother, I want to be a fashionista. And we just talked about
my... Nothing's changed from then to now.
And my mama, like you were saying, I rocked it right up my alley. And my mama was like, what does that mean? Like, how do you want to be a fashionista? And I was like, Mom, look, I got it. And I found, like, we went to the Halloween store, I remember, and I found, like, this Hannah Montana dress. I was like, I'll just use the dress. And it was sparkly, and my mom was really strict and made me wear like a t-shirt under it. I was really mad about it. And then I wore a bright blue boa, and I did bright blue eyeshadow, and like I had like the tights and heels. Like I went all out, and it was probably the most me I've ever felt still to this day was a fashionista.
Nothing has changed from then
to
now.
Nothing at all.
It's just,
right?
I haven't seen any of the sparkly clothing from you during the time that we've known each other.
Maybe not in the daylight, but I will say the only difference now is I'm...
I don't like the way you phrase that. Maybe not in the daylight.
Maybe I don't walk around with the sun out wearing full-on sparkles, but I will
say at least it'd be reflective. At least people would know when you're walking across the quad.
The only thing that's changed is now I'm a full-grown adult who can wear whatever I want, and so every day I stunt as if it's a fashion show. I live the fashionista I was in fourth grade.
Now, I tell you, when we were at the National Sports Media Association banquet, you would not believe the amount of people, like colleagues in the industry who've been working for decades such, kept coming up to her and saying, that is a good outfit.
It's like one of my proudest moments. Every single day. Multiple people compliment my outfit. I gotta say, like, I thrifted this for $3. Yeah. And the banger was the very last day of this conference, and it was like the cocktail attire, and so it was the nicest day. And I saw some of the most stunning dresses from all the ladies, and I love them. And the reason I wore what I did was I just didn't have a dress for it, and I didn't particularly want to buy one, and I just didn't feel like I had anything appropriate. So I wore the pantsuit that I wore for junior year prom, because I have always been iconic. And so I wore just a purple pantsuit with heels, and I was dressed to the max, and I got quite a few notes that I was the best dressed in the room, second to Spencer's red bow tie.
Well, I don't know.
Second to Spencer's red bow tie was the comment I got.
Yeah, mine was I went with the power red move on the bow tie, more so crimson red, and it turned out the only other person who had a bow tie in that room was Ken Rosenthal,
and that is the biggest win.
Oh yeah, that was good. Halloween wise, the last 2 years I have actually spent the money to get better costume. Like when I was growing up, I just mostly wore a suit, and I said I was like lawyer, broadcaster, stuff
really?
Like that. I had an easy way out.
Spencer, that's so funny as a child.
Because it was way easy because I had those clothes available.
That makes so much sense.
But not even that. On Halloween, it gets cold. Freezing. So you're in the suit.
I can't think of one little kid that was thinking of practicality and to put on a suit for Halloween. That is my favorite thing I've ever
heard. I will say that this is where the story gets sad. Most of the times on Halloween, I was by myself, not walking with anyone else. So I was reaping in the candy that was left over.
That's good. And I'm sure they felt bad for the little kid alone in a suit. And three is, can we go trick-or-treating together this year? Because
they probably won't let us. We show up to that door, they'll probably be upset if that happens.
They
would just look at me like, aren't you too old to be doing this? No. Towards the end, they were starting. The last time I trick-or-treated was 2020, I think. Yeah, during the COVID year. Like 2020. Anyways, beside the point, the last 2 years, Halloween was when we actually had class in session on campus. Unfortunately, Halloween falls on fall break, so no one's going to be on campus in costumes. Maybe they'll be, they're probably, most people are going home and doing stuff and everything. So, first year I was here on campus, I bought a weekend costume.
That's so funny.
And I'm going to show you two on Instagram afterwards. The problem is people mistook me for a CNIS ambassador. Because it's the red blazer and everything. So they were mistaken. They're like, hey, can you show me where this classroom is? I'm like, but even though, it was the red blazer, I had the shades. I also had one of those fake microphones.
That's incredible. Off topic, I love Spencer's love for the weekend. And it's my favorite thing in the entire world. Oh, yeah. Continue.
And I also have, and I still have this, I have a Bluetooth speaker that has a belt clip on it. So imagine this kid walking across Bryant Denny Stadium.
Were you bumping?
And it was playing Blinding Lights, like all the hits and everything. Now, when you walk into the classroom, you have to, or when you walk into the building, you have to keep it at a low enough level so that people don't call campus police on you for disturbing classes, even though most of them wouldn't care.
But not on this campus.
But no, it was a lot of fun on that. And then last year, a colleague of mine and I, this was on, I think Halloween was on a Tuesday last year, something like that. We did Daft Punk. The Grammys fit of Daft Punk. So we had suits on and had the helmets and the gloves and everything. And same thing, belt clip Bluetooth speaker, and we're playing, you know, Get Lucky, Starboy, all the Daft Punk hits while we're walking around.
I love it.
Reese Pfeiffer all in the quad and everything.
That's
We had a couple people who were wanting photos with us and everything. So it was that was a fun time on Halloween and such.
I love it so much. Do you have big plans for this year?
No. This year, so I'm actually, I'm getting lunch with my siblings. Once this podcast, here's a little insight behind the scenes. Once we get all these things packed up, footage is uploading to OneDrive because the library equipment, you have to return everything that you get with the equipment, including the SD card. Upload it to OneDrive, get back home, download the footage, edit everything, get all the stuff uploaded and everything. So, and usually I'm getting done around like 9 or 10 o'clock in the evening because it's a lot of footage to edit. And then Thursday morning, I'm driving up to Nashville going to see my siblings for lunch. And then a colleague of mine has a football game that he's the lead voice for Green Hill High School. Shout out to Christian Kaposi and the crew at the Green Hill Sports Network. They're letting me shadow them for their final game of the season. So Halloween, I'll be behind the scenes with them and such. I think they've got like a trunk or treat event beforehand.
Be
so I'll
fun.
Be heading over there. I'll just get the discount candy
the
next
Halloween,
day.
Good Halloween. Good work stuff. Next day, I'll be with you at another football game. And it'll be great.
And also, for those of you watching today, this is the last day you can shave. No Shave November to support various men's cancers. This is also the last day you can wear the pink ribbons and such, but this is about to get rough. I'm just warning you. I shave on Halloween every year, and then I do not shave until December 1st.
I love it. So this is about to get rough, too.
Oh, yeah. Thanksgiving, my family hates me. They hate looking at me on Thanksgiving.
For the family photo, too.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
They absolutely hate it, but I tell them this is the one time I don't have to pick up a razor or put on shaving cream or anything. I just don't worry about it.
I get after my boy every single day. I'm like, why are you going to shave that face?
Let him just grow it out for November, supporting men's cancers. Just let him for a month, and then December, you get on it.
I'll let him know. I'll let him know if Spencer said it's allowed.
So that'll be fun. But Samantha, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. Really appreciate it. And normally, this was still a lot of great stories, a lot of great things. I feel like there's more of the bouncy energy that is off of the camera, which it makes sense. This kind of gets them nervous and things, but it'll be a lot of fun when we look down on the ice and we look around and see juice.
I know, so many things to look for.
We need to do a mic'd up segment with Samantha. We need to have something.
I would love that.
We can rent something from Gorgas. They've got lapel mic sets. We just attach a camera or something, and we need just because that would be golden content to just hear one point juice, and then we go, where's the juice?
I'm here. Let it go.
Yeah, that about wraps it up. You got any final thoughts before we head into a continued bye week?
Oh, I'm excited heading into this continued bye week. Excited to see how this team keeps progressing in their off time. Happy Halloween and roll tide roll.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So just remember, we need to send money to Anya to afford her new dog to make sure she can afford the new pet food and everything.
Absolutely.
We need to don't make bets with Samantha unless you are guaranteed to lose.
Absolutely.
And talk to Kate for fashion advice. Hopefully those are the important things that you've learned from today. That's going to wrap it up for this week's episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour. We'll get another guest on next week as we continue in the sort of break before we lead up to the Columbus Classic, and we'll just have another fun conversation as we continue along. For Kate Aitchison, as well as Samantha Lance, our producer, Annie Sakalis, all the hardworking men and women that make this run so smoothly. I'm Spencer Thompson saying so long from Reese Pfeiffer Hall. Another episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour is in the books.